Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. This morning, our guest is Sarah Cook, and she is founder and CEO of Raising CEO Kids. This woman is a dynamo. She's the author of The Parent's Guide to Raising CEO Kids. She has hosted the CEO Kids Summit in 2009 and 2010, Cash Savvy Kids Summit. She's been featured on TV, blogs, radio, Yahoo Finance, and she is passionate about teaching kids life skills such as business management, financial management, public service, public speaking, problem solving. She is a dynamo, and I can't wait to have you hear her tips on how to raise CEO kids. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is great. So, you know, I wrote the book Jesus CEO, so anytime I see CEO in a title, I'm interested. And what inspired you to start writing about raising CEO kids?
Well, actually, the inspiration came from my own children. I have a son. My oldest son was not doing well in school. He's a very, very bright child, if you look at his test scores, but was not doing well in school. And so we thought, what are we going to do to help him? His interests were in technology, and we wanted to be able to help him not fail out of life, you know, because school is kind of what they're supposed to do when they're 10 and 12 years old. And
right.
So we just weren't really sure how to help a child like him, and so we set about trying to figure out what would engage him in learning and, you know, keeping engaged. And so really it was business. And we thought, well, there's probably other kids that are like him. And so as we began to support him in his own gifts and dreams, and he kind of would, you know, work his way through school and do what he needed to be doing. And he makes $20-$30 an hour fixing computers via his bedroom most of the time. And so, you know, that's been fabulous for a 15-year-old. He's now 15. He started when he was, you know, 10 years old selling on eBay. And now it's, you know, progressed from there. My daughter also has her own interests, but very different from my son's. And then my youngest has very different interests from both of them. And so we knew that there had to be a way to support these kids that didn't really all the time love school, but had great talents and gifts, and how to engage them and really allow God to, you know, transform them into be who he knew they were created to be. And so I started interviewing other kids and parents who were raising kids like my kids, and
right.
found out that there were certain things that you could do to support them. And so we thought, you know, we got to write a book. And my husband and I co-authored it.
Wow. And you shared that your husband has a PhD in parenting skills, and you so you share this passion for how to raise kids. You know, we talk so often about keeping kids from dropping out, but the high achievers, how do you keep them from opting out?
Exactly.
Of the system that is set at sometimes a tortoise pace.
Mm-hmm.
So what, help us, what have you come up with here? What are the four pillars of success?
Well, the four pillars are really, number one, vision. And vision allows them to look at what their gifts are and what they think is possible for their own life, and then really, you know, kind of fuel that forward rather than just telling them, oh, wait till you get out of high school, or wait till college,
right.
or wait till you grow up some. It allows them to see what's possible at a very young age, and then to take, the next step would be to take action on that vision and couple it with the right attitude. So that's number two and three, the action and the attitude, and not just any action, because we all know as entrepreneurs, you can do all kinds of things and not do anything towards what your mission is. You can be busy, but not really
right.
productive.
Right.
And then, you know, the attitude piece helps them to not get discouraged, because sometimes when you start a business at such a young age, people will tell you, oh, that's so cute, or, you know, that, you know, they don't really believe what
right.
you're doing. And then the last piece, the last pillar, is outcome, helping them to look at what happened and to make different choices about what they can do better and what they can do differently, as well as to say, let's not do that one again, or yes, that worked really effectively. And so just a process, help them to process all of the outcomes that come with being a young high achiever and being a young entrepreneur, and also being able to adapt to what society is asking kids to do as well. So it's just
right.
putting those four pillars together helps them to be very successful and also very confident in their own
yeah.
dreams and desires.
Now, let me ask you this. You said you have one son that's a computer literate and making money on computers. And then your other two children, what are they passionate about and what are they
doing? So my daughter, yes. My daughter is very passionate about cooking and crafting. Mm-hmm. She wrote a cookbook in 2010 called Cooking with Cece. It's Bake Sale, Sweet Treats and Bake Sale Secrets. And so her really, her joy, yeah, she's been cooking since she was 6 or 7, and we are grateful for it. I'm so grateful that she cooks so well at the age of 12. And
wow.
We're just happy to have her do that. And she raises money for kids with cancer through her efforts.
Wow.
And then
wow.
My youngest son is just kind of still trying to figure out what he wants to do. He's 8. And
mm-hmm.
we're happy that he's taking his time figuring
right.
that out. But, you know, it probably will have something to do with fitness. He's kind of every once in a while writing a book slowly but surely on how to help kids stay healthy and fit. And so he's the one
wow.
that gets us going on exercise and trampolining and running and doing all kinds of
That's
things. So
fun.
They're all different. Yeah.
So how did you do this? Because, your husband's in academia and you're, I guess, a full-time mom in addition
mm-hmm.
to author and
yes,
running the business.
I am a full-time mom.
Right. So how do you raise 3 children that are entrepreneurs with that attitude of, you know, we can do this, we can make it, and what are some systems and strategies to help kids get started in business?
I think one of the things is you have to listen to them. I think so often as parents, we have our own little plan, our own little life plan for our kids, and we
right.
we don't listen to what they're telling us. And so one of the things that we really had to do is we had to take a step back as parents and say, wow, we're not listening at all, and we need to listen better, and then start to engage them in asking questions. Well, I see you love that. What could you do to, what can we do to make that produce income for you? And the reason for that is because we have really chosen not to do allowance in our house. And so the kids have to buy a lot of stuff for themselves. And they've early on learned to budget. And so they knew that they had to create their own income if they wanted X, Y, and Z and trips around the world and, you know, the latest gadget, tech gadget. And so I think, number one, listen to your kids. Ask them questions rather than just solving the problems for them
mm-hmm.
and get them engaged in really thinking about what the possibilities are for themselves rather than creating the plan for them.
Right, right. So with your children now, how do you, because of that fourth pillar, the outcome, how do you not compare one child to another and sort of, you know, it's just classic for parents to pit kids against each other. Well, you know, Johnny did this by the age of X, or what are you doing lately? Or how do you, you know, particularly when it comes, this is a multi-layered question.
mm-hmm.
When you have, you know, I'm the author of Path Elements Profile based on Earth, Water, Wind, and Fire. So your winds and fires might be your natural entrepreneurs, but your waters and earths might tend to take things more slowly. So how do you, as a parent, be sensitive to the personality type that you're dealing with? You know, the waters like to go with the flow and might not want the attention or the measurable outcome that the fires seek.
Well, one of the ways is just comparing my oldest two. I mean, my son was much more of a fire personality,
uh-huh.
and my daughter is much more of a water personality. And so for her, we just had to. She actually had a breakdown. She started bawling one day. I'm tired of being pushed, you know, and I'm not like you, you know. And so that was like a real eye-opener for me, for her to say, you know, Mom, I'm not like you. And
right.
and I appreciate everything you're doing, but I just need to do this at my own pace. And I, so
mm-hmm.
I think as parents, if we don't want to get to that point, if we actually start to listen sooner, and say, you know what is it? Ask them, what is it that you think that you would like to do with this? Because you're so gifted, and we've talked all about the possibilities. I think it takes a very humble heart, and for me,
mm-hmm.
definitely. It takes you being humble as a parent and saying, you know what, it's not about them being on TV, or it's not about them
right.
doing the latest and greatest. It's not about them getting, it's about them wanting to do what's best for them and using their gifts in a way that makes them feel honored and makes them feel appreciative and also appreciated. And so
right.
I think it takes humility because sometimes as parents, our dreams gets involved. You know, our dreams of what we want for them gets involved. And I've really had to learn to bite my tongue
right,
and
right.
be humble to what they see for themselves, but also be willing to stretch them a little bit as I see opportunities for stretching them rather than crushing them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some other systems and strategies?
Some of the things that are looking, as parents, we have to be open-minded about looking at the possibilities. So I signed up for a resource called Harrow. A lot of people use helpareporter.com, or I think it's called harrow.com. And looking at the opportunities that might be where we could, you know, where they could feature their gifts. The other thing would be looking in the community at opportunities for where they could maybe learn some new skills or learn some new, use their gifts to serve other people. That was one of the things we did for my daughter was I saw that there was a community event, and so that was where she did her first charity bake sale. And it really stretched her, but she had the best time, and she grew
mm-hmm.
so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be open-minded as parents in places that maybe they could go and try out some of their gifts and try out
right.
some of the things that they're doing in a way that would allow them to grow and to stretch, but also it would be comfortable and sustainable for them.
Right.
The other
so
system would be...
Harrow, let me ask you, wait, let me interrupt you.
Yes.
Okay, harrow.com, is that H-A-R-O.com?
I believe it is H-A-R-O. In fact, let me just look it up for you while we're talking here.
Uh-huh.
It's Help a Reporter. Like, if you do a Google search, it's helpareporter.com. It has all these different news queries and
uh-huh.
allows people to... It's not H-A-R-O. I'll look it up for you, though, just a second.
Okay, it's helpareporter.com.
Helpareporter.com, yes. And
okay.
it has all kinds of people, journalists and TV shows and magazines, all are looking for different stories. And so I was kind of always on the lookout when I knew that my kids had some gifts that they wanted to share and they weren't really in the mindset of education, that I
mm-hmm.
tried to find ways that they could be interviewed or that we could, you know, help them be introduced to other people or mentors or whatever through Harrow. And that allowed them to be featured on some different websites or in blogs or on radio shows and really stretch them in their public speaking as well as in their writing and allowed them to see that other people were appreciative of their gifts, and that gave them more confidence.
That is great. Now, let me ask you this. I can imagine that your kids are kind of challenging for the teachers. Are they homeschooled?
My oldest two have been homeschooled. My oldest is in public, and my youngest is also in public. My daughter is still at home right now. We kind of have chosen to do what we feel like, you know, in praying about it, what's the best thing for each child. I'm not like a
right.
super advocate for public or a super advocate for homeschool. I just really feel like each child is different.
Sure.
And
so how did the teachers react when they see that they've got a 10-year-old in their class that's already an author, or you know, your oldest son? How do you keep them linked to their peer group when they're obviously way ahead of their peers in terms of achievement or, you know, entrepreneurial skills, rather?
Yeah, you know what? We haven't really found a problem with it. I mean, I know that there are some kids, in fact, many of the kids that we interviewed felt sometimes even that they were bullied for being so successful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the kids would even try to sabotage their success. And that actually did happen to my son a little bit.
Wow.
There was a cyber bully that got in and really destroyed his YouTube channel that he was making hundreds of dollars from advertising revenue. And that was very discouraging.
Oh, yeah. It's the real world, isn't it?
It really is the real world out there. and it's hard. I think like I said before, every child is different. And so as parents, we really had to keep an open communication. You know, how did it go today? What can we do? Is there, you know, just that dinner table talk is so important. You know, we make sure that we
wow.
have family dinner so that you know what's going on with your kids. You know, make sure you have
right.
a texting plan. I mean, just keep the lines of communication open, because there are going to be times, probably, like any other child, that things happen that are hard, things happen that are
wow.
hurtful. We haven't had a problem with the teachers, really. The teachers just sometimes expect more out of them. But I think that also is, you know, the open communication with the teachers saying, you know what, Johnny doesn't really love being in school, but we're going to try to stretch him anyway. And we ask you that you will treat him no different than the other kids. He's, you know.
Exactly. Well, let me just wrap it up here just because we're running out of time.
Listeners.
I feel like I could talk to Sarah for hours. We don't have time, but check her out at raisingceokids.com, Sarah L. Cook. Sarah, it has been a delight. God bless you for your work, and I look forward to hearing more about what you're up to.
Thank you so much.
All right. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.